any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go. All suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that brand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
Hey, there we go. We finally got back. I'm waiting for Rents and Jim and them to connect. Sorry about that, guys. Skype is giving me a fit right now for some reason. It seized up right when I was getting ready to connect with Jim and the studio. So Jim tried to call me a minute ago. He's over there on there we go. I see Pat in management chat. I'm still waiting on Jim hopefully he'll see this. Ah, hell, that's a hell of a day. Okay, let me get the somebody said they put a curse on it. Let me get my browser window open here, and I'll try to get over here and connect with Jim. Anyway, so let me see. Okay, so see, Studio A is bumped up to what was that? Let me see here. Maybe we can get at least Mike hooked up here as we wait for Jim and friends. Let me see. Where is that? Mike Gaddy. There it is. Let me get that moved to the side so we can get this. Hopefully we can get him connected over here on Studio A. That studio, if you can hear it. I was trying to ring Mike Gaddy. I think that's what we need to ring. I'm not 100% sure. Okay. Stop that. Oh, there they are. All right, we got Studio A going. I'm still waiting on Jim and Todd to give me a call back here on Studio B so we can simulcast with those fellas. Okay, here we go. Let me add Here's, I got a number. Let me add this to the, let me write it down so I can switch the window here. Okay. We're going to add, let me get this, let me get Jim added to the show here. Okay, but we got Studio A going too. So, oh God, hey, at least let's get the right phone number in there, right? That makes a difference, doesn't it? Sorry about that. Take me a minute, guys. There we go. Let's give these guys a call. See, hopefully I got the right number. Dun, 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 dun. Yeah. Hey.
Studio. Studio.
Yeah, this is Mitch calling for in.
So sorry, Mitch. Yeah. All right. Stand
sorry about that. My PC crashed.
No problem. Here we go.
To reveal to the American people, if they haven't already heard or known, the treachery that went on that day, the treachery that still goes on to this day, because we are still wrapped in an eternal war, probably one that's far more difficult, far more dangerous than the one we had before. We also have Scott Bennett, and I'm hoping he's already online as well, and we welcome you to share your insights as a specialist on these tragic circumstances. And we mourn for the lives that were lost. We mourn for the people suckered into a terrorism paradigm, the wars that were battled all over the world. We are all victims of that. So that's why we need a true and decent, proper inquiry, and we'll have it here with James Fetzer and Scott Bennett. Welcome to both of you.
Oh, George, it's a delight to be here with you today, and I'm just thrilled to have Scott here, too, who actually drove past the Pentagon the following day, and it was obvious to him, no plane had hit the Pentagon, a crucial aspect of the entire scam, where I love those reports you've been playing about people seeing planes approach the building. George W. Bush is the only person I'm aware of who actually claimed to have seen the hit on this North Tower, which he was talking about, all saying on several public occasions. When he saw that first plane hit the North Tower, he thought, man, what a terrible pilot. And I've calculated, George, the only time he could have seen that, because the actual footage about the North Tower from the Daudet brothers, his front film crew, about which more later, didn't show up until the following day, was on a closed circuit Secret Service television cable. And why in the world would the Secret Service have had a camera pointed to that facade of the North Tower unless they knew what was coming?
Oh, indeed, indeed. I think they knew. I think they planned. I think they orchestrated everything down to the finest detail, because this was their new Pearl Harbor. This opened the door for them to usurp power, to force the American people and the whole world to grovel in the dirt while they did their dirty work. And part of the dirty work was from the inside to destroy many things. When we look at the number of financial institutions, financial records, just pulverized and destroyed so that no investigation could ever come over these people. It just breaks my heart to know that, by and large, so many people are so uninformed and just listen to the lies that come on the news and follow.
You're 100% correct. It's the power of propaganda, the complete domination of the media, where I have a panel of 100 executives from CNN, every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, another panel from NBC, 100 executives. Every one of whom is a dual U.S.-Israeli citizen, a third panel from the New York Times, 100 executives, every one of whom is a dual U.S. citizen, because 9/11, although most Americans are unaware, was an Israeli op to draw the U.S. into the Middle East to take out the modern Arab states that were serving as a counterbalance to Israel's domination of the entire region and eventually to confront the Persian nation of Iran.
Indeed, indeed. We have lost so much over the years of some of the finer points But one of the finer points that was well illustrated at the beginning and sort of swept under the rug, especially over time, was the seven dancing Israelis who were with a van and cheering the actual crash, and that were ultimately taken into custody and then released to go home on their own accord.
Where they went on, three of them went on Israeli television to say they'd been there to document the destruction of the World Trade Center, including the Twin Towers. Just for the benefit of members of the audience who may not know, I founded Scholars for 9/11 Truth in December of 2005, and I benefited from collaborative research involving engineers, pilots, physicists, aeronautical, structural, mechanical. So I have had the great advantage of putting together highly relevant information exposing what really happened. One of the fascinating aspects about the clips you played, George, to open the show were those talking about seeing the plane approach it and enter the South Tower. Now, it turns out that there are some 52 videos that have to do with Flight 175, some aspect of it, and where one of them is the Evan Fairbanks taken straight up, looking straight up the South Tower, and you can count the number of frames, and it turns out that the plane passes its entire length into the building in the same number of frames. It passes its entire length through air, which makes physical sense only if a massive 500,000-ton steel and concrete building provides no more resistance to the trajectory of an airplane in flight than air. In other words, we're watching a fantasy violating the laws of physics and of aerodynamics, because it turns out Flight 175 was traveling faster than aerodynamically possible for a Boeing 767 at that altitude. They appear to have blundered by taking the cruising speed of the plane at 35,000 feet and assuming it could attain the same speed at only 700 to 1,000. For pilots for 9/11 Truth who've done some brilliant work here in their excellent documentary, 9/11 Intercepted, explain that a Boeing 767 at that speed, at that altitude, would have physically come apart in the air, George. So here we have another impossibility taking place with regard to the footage we have of 9/11, especially the South Tower, which many have found most convincing.
Oh, indeed. I'm glad you brought that point up. That was a very difficult time to argue a counterpoint. And I remember it very well on late night radio. And one of my favorite source materials, of course, was one that I couldn't be shot down with, and that was the Sunday New York Times. And I remember that article from the pilots very, very well about the fact that the plane can't fly that fast at that low an altitude. And I'd said my piece, and I was beaten thoroughly by, you know, people who are in some sort of cult dystopia to accept whatever's been handed to them and persecute any heretic that comes along. And they jump all over me, and I'd say, look, this is in the flagship paper of New York City, the New York Times. It's on the front page this last Sunday. It's irrefutable proof, and you can't deny it. But, of course, the truth can only be accepted for a millisecond or two, and then eyes glass over, and they go back to their previous programming, and it doesn't move the mountain the way we would like it to. And that's a terrible shame, but the words have to be said. The truth has to come out, and it will rise to the top, and it will be indisputable if we just use plain logic and reason and understanding.
And George, here we have Scott. Yeah, George. Yeah.
Let me add upon that point, because you and Jim have brought together a very good nexus of the physical scientific analysis, the structural issues, the buildings, the planes, and all of the laws of physics and the evidentiary matter and the physical material are all mathematically equationable items and issues and substances that when you lay out on paper, you very clearly see that the government narrative is physically impossible and all of that jazz. So the facts are essential And the cognitive dissonance, and as a former PSYOP officer, I've studied this, I know this, I know the intimacies of the human personality and the vulnerabilities and all of the different things that make us behave and think in certain ways. And what you're describing, George, is very, very appropriate and necessary to understand the cognitive dissonance, the fear, the paranoia, the selfishness, the narcissism that animates people that refuse to look at the truth, that refuse to do the weighing of the physical evidence and the analysis, that refuse to look and see what is that light coming over the hill. Well, it's the sun. No, I don't want to look at the light. I'm going to turn the other way and don't make me look, and I'm going to hide under my bed. This is important for where we are in society today, because we have to divorce and separate ourselves from those mental, schizophrenic, lunatic, selfish fools that are really sowing the seeds of their own destruction, and we can't be a part of their community or have relationships with them, even if they're our own family. We can't have any connection with them because they are going over the cliff and dragging everyone with them in their ignorance, their willful ignorance. So the physical analysis of 9/11 is the only thing that matters, not beliefs, not our emotions, not, well, how could the media and the government and the military and the intelligence sectors all coordinate and do this together? Ha, ha, ha. That's a conspiracy. That's a laughter. We're not talking about that emotional belief system. We're talking about the evidence. We're talking about buildings. We're talking about the design of the World Trade Center Tower. We're talking about its capability of absorbing a Boeing plane into the side structure as the engineers intended. We're talking about Building 7 falling into its own footprint at free fall speed, the impossibility of that. We're talking about the lies of NIST. We're talking about the absence of the plane parts at the Pentagon. We're talking about internal explosions at the Pentagon. We're talking about all the physical evidence that is absolutely impregnable when you lay it out and get architects and engineers and military and scientists and everybody to go, okay, let's see what happened and what didn't happen. And that's the foundation for all interpretation and analysis of 9/11. And then you separate the sheep and the goats, those who are willing to look and think, and those who are cowards, weak, fools, idiots, and want to live as slaves. And that's where we're separating in society today. That's the value of having the internet, because people are waking up and they're seeing all of this. And I just wanted to bring those, the physical evidence and the cognitive dissonance. This is the line that you have to choose which side you stand on. And I would advise everybody stand on the side of truth.
Indeed, the truth sets us free, and it definitely prevents us from being enslaved. And not that I've ever been the greatest investigator, but one of the most important things is the evidence is the compass. And it doesn't matter what you think, what you believe, what you'd prefer to believe, it just points where it points. And you have to follow that evidence. And maybe you have to swallow big if you believe in the fairy tales of states and leaders. But you must, because the evidence is the compass, and the compass is leading you to a freedom, a salvation from the trap that has been set for you. And not to understand history is even more. At that time, I was reading Mr. Stennett's book on Pearl Harbor, and it was like I was reading it almost about 9/11. The same kind of tricks are played, the same types of things are done, and he had declassified memos to support his thesis that are very, very succinct. He was jumped on from every direction that it cannot be. But there's, I call them like quantum events in American history and world history, because we're all in this together. And in the more recent times, it is Pearl Harbor. It is the assassination of John Kennedy. The magic bullet can't be the magic bullet. It's against the laws of physics. There were perpetrators behind the scene, enemies foreign and domestic, in all of these events. We go to Oklahoma City, which was a smaller one, but it was still one of these events where they pass off just complete garbage and try to say this is what happened. But when you listen to General Barton speak of explosions and how explosive force works, It was quite a lesson for me. And when I learned it, now I understood that I'd been taken to the cleaners. 9/11 is this one from 20 years ago, which is pretty much a full generation ago now. And now we're in another one. We're in the disease pandemic, where they've applied the screws even harder and in a more ruthless fashion to go after basically every living human being on the planet Earth, because we still haven't learned the game they play with us. And I'm glad that there are determined individuals like you who are prepared to lay it on the line and teach this to other people, in spite of the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune that are going to be hurled at us by the mental incompetence. But it has to be done. And if we win the way, then it's a nice day for us to just sit around in the backyard and have a brew and talk about old times, because we've achieved the ultimate victory.
George, I want to pick up on your witness reports about seeing a plane, you know, approach the building, because what we're witnessing there with the entry, the effortless entry of what's supposed to be a Boeing 767 into the South Tower is a physical impossibility. It couldn't have happened. A real plane would have crumpled external to the building, bodies, seats, luggage, wings, tail falling to the ground. The engines, which are virtually indestructible, might well have entered the building, but other parts would not. And yet we have photographs of the street and the sidewalk beneath both the North and the South Tower, and there's no such aircraft debris. That means some form of fakery is taking place. Now, three different theories have been advanced to explain these anomalies. One by Rosalie Grable, also known as the Web Fairy, now departed, thought it was computer-generated images, CGI. Ace Baker, who produced a brilliant 9/11 Psy opera, thought that it was using video compositing. Between the time that footage is initially filmed and it's released to the broadcast, there's a 17-second interval during which images could have been introduced. The third, which on its face initially sounds most implausible, is the use of sophisticated holograms. Now, right off the bat, when we have witnesses reporting seeing planes approach the building in real time, and there turned out to be quite a few, hundreds actually, even though the reports are quite different in terms of the plane they claim to have seen, some that it was large, some it was small, some it was military, some it was commercial. On either CGI or video compositing, there would have been no plane visible in real time. So that suggests for a plane to have been visible in real time, it cannot have been CGI or video compositing. Now, there's an absolutely stunning study by Richard D. Hall of the UK called his 3D Flight 175 radar study, where Richard discovered that of those 52 videos, some 27 or 28 were precise enough to plot a location and a time for the approaching plane, which he did, and I'll return after the break.
Yes, indeed. We're coming up for a break. We're doing a much better analysis, I think, than any 9/11 commission, any other sort of commission, which are just deep holes to bury the truth in. I'm George Freund. Joining us, James Fetzer, Scott Bennett, Power Hour Nation. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea.
Yes,
ideas
indeed.
Have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself
really
the
opportunity
Well,
I first heard it on the radio, so
survive.
I didn't get to have
it's
the advantage of seeing any pictures or anything, just making breakfast and heard the report on the radio.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts.
You may have
learned some more information. Russian radio broadcasting is blocked for free speech
and an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this part of free speech has never been free. We need the support. It is the people like you,
yes,
you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression.
Relieve stress and anxiety and create calmness in your life. With Tranquil, available today at thepowermall.com. For a limited time, buy one Tranquil and receive the second one absolutely free. That's right,
exactly.
Buy one Tranquil and receive the second
what else there
absolutely
in the
free
skunk
at thepowermall.com. Or call
877-817-9829.
Or buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com.
They may come out
that's
of work and go into the public sphere and move around, but their lips are sealed. It's just routine to
Hi, it's
Terry
Schwiley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle Fuel Soap definitely fits that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like your green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2 Skin Lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We could probably insert it in there anyway for people to catch
up. Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall.
But there could be things to play that are making technical damage.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station. It's
just made a quantum difference in how we interpret the lies, how we free ourselves from this mental bondage that we're put in. And we're very blessed to have them here today, but we're also very blessed for all the things they do that we may not be aware of because they just don't give up. They don't stop. That was Joyce Riley saying, just don't stop. Keep at it, keep at it, keep at it. And it's because of people like that, that whatever vestige of freedom you have anywhere is because they're on the front lines fighting all the time for it. Most of the world just walks around in a trance. It's very difficult for me sometimes to even want to be around a lot of people because they are so dull and mundane that it's just painful. It is just painful to be around them and listen to their conversation or their ability to analyze any sort of facts or data, even at a very low level. And we try. We do our best. The key to win this war is to change the channel. Put on channels that you find Scott, that you find Jim Fetzer on, that Power Hour's on, and similar programs. And then you emancipate yourself from this mental slavery. Carry on, Jim, about our analysis before we started the break. You were on a roll.
Yeah, absolutely fascinating. What Richard D. Hall did was to create a series of plots for the apparent plane motion toward the building. Now, he discovered NIST had a similar series of plots, and they claimed that it had come from radar data. But when he checked out the alleged source, the radar data, it did not look right to him. Now, he undertook additional research and discovered there was radar data, but it was for a plane that was 1,200 feet to the right of the image that he had plotted. This led him to the conjecture, which I believe is well-founded, that a plane that was 1,200 feet to the right was projecting the image of the plane approaching the Pentagon. It was traveling faster than a Boeing 767 at that altitude could travel, which accounts for the impossible speed, perhaps, to preserve the integrity of the holographic image. It just disappeared into the building because it wasn't a real image. It was simply a holographic projection. We even had the bizarre nose-out phenomenon when the networks went fade to black while filming the most historic footage in American history, one would have thought. And in addition, it accounts for how the radar data would only bounce off of a real plane and not the holographic image, which is why the radar data, in fact, only showed the plane that was projecting the image. In the course of my research, I was sent a page from an Australian military manual for an airborne holographic projector showing one plane projecting the image of another seems to fit exactly what we have going on here. Moreover, while there are those who believe that holograms can only project on a hard surface, we know military technology is decades ahead of what the public is allowed to learn. And recently, reports were published about the use of air as a temporary screen, air molecules as a temporary screen, which I submit is what happened here. For a censure here, this is really stunning stuff. I've mentioned pilots for 9/11 too, doing such brilliant work. They were able to track Flight 175 through air ground communications and discovered it was over Harrisburg and Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, after it had allegedly hit the South Tower. And when I dug into it, I found from Federal Aviation Administration records that that plane, and interestingly, the plane used for Flight 93 in Shanksville, both of those were not formally deregistered until 28 September 2005. Raising a question, how can planes that crashed on 9/11 have still been in the air 4 years later? An immense fraud on the American people.
Oh, indeed, indeed. One of the little sidebars to the flying at a low altitude at high speed is the reason that the plane breaks apart is the number of G's that you're rolling through. And that comes on to the people, too, as well as the pilots. So you have a person who is supposed to be unsophisticated, hardly trained at all, definitely not trained to fly a large jet, flying at something a Top Gun pilot might not be able to handle if he even tried to attempt it, but taking in far more G-forces than you could ever imagine without a flight suit. And usually you start to lose consciousness even for a Top Gun pilot at a threshold point that was probably exceeded. And here we're supposed to have a novice who's not anywhere near as physically fit, doesn't have a pressure suit, and he's going to stay conscious operating this plane at that speed. It's impossible.
George, let me add to that. My father was a Marine Corps fighter pilot in Vietnam. He flew F-8s, A-7s, A-4s, OV-10s, but his favorite plane was the F-8. It was the fastest plane in the American military in the early part of the 60s. It was the plane that flew over and took the photographs of Cuba, the F-8. So my father flew the F-8. My uncle was also an airline pilot, an Air Force pilot. He flew KC-135s, KC-10s. He flew the 747 later in life, the DC-10, all the big planes. both my father and my uncle have said that kind of a plane cannot undergo the aerodynamic maneuvers that were claimed in the 9/11 story and video. It's like a bus. It's not a sports car. An F-8, an F-16, an F-15, any of these military-grade planes are designed specifically and reinforced to do agility and maneuvers for combat situations, which include rolls and all sorts of other things. The big planes, the passenger planes, the commercial planes are not. They are big aluminum tubes with fiberglass. They are like buses. They cannot do the rolls and the speeds and all of the things that fighter planes do. So the plane being claimed to have done all of these amazing maneuvers is impossible with a pilot, as well as impossible with any claims to remote control systems, because the planes do not have the physical integrity. And the Pentagon is a great example. As Jim has laid out, he and I have done some wonderful shows on AmericanMediaPeriscope.net. People can go there and watch. Jim Fetzer, we did three shows on 9/11. We've also done the Kennedy assassination of the Boston Marathon. We're picking up next week with additional, I'll keep the subject matter safe so the bad guys shit their pants and worry and get all sweated out with fear. But don't worry, Jim Fetzer and I are coming back on American Media Periscope, and we are continuing these presentations. But the 9/11 one was exceptional because Jim did a great analysis and built upon the Pentagon trajectory, the light poles that were in the grass area, the impossibility of a plane coming down and hitting that building, the photographic evidence that showed no plane hit the Pentagon, the absence of the tail and the wheels and the luggage and the baggage and all that stuff. And I personally drove by the Pentagon. I was doing my doctorate at Catholic University. I drove by it every day, and I looked to my right, and I saw no plane on the Pentagon. I saw a big hole with a blue tarp covering it. So the Pentagon not only was one of the great deceptions, but it was the ultimate deception, because it was the ultimate betrayal, where every military person in that building that looked outside or walked outside and did not see a plane, did not hear a plane, knew that buildings were bombs were blowing up inside the building. Every single military person committed treason and should be executed for treason, because if there's one person in the United States that should be held to the highest standard, it is the military officer and the military enlisted. You are given the faith and trust of the people of this country, and you betrayed them by not reporting and not standing at post and reciting your oath to defend against domestic enemies. And you allowed domestic enemies in the Congress and the media, but especially the Congress and the White House, to perpetrate this great lie. The military had the greatest shame, and that is why when I discovered this much later in life, I instantly resorted to the oath and the character that my parents and my father specifically instilled in me as a Marine Corps military officer and a pilot, that I would never surrender in exchange for money or jobs or influence or even my freedom. The Obama administration threw me in jail because they knew I would not be tempted or lured or bought off. But this is the awakening that every military person has to have, that the Pentagon was the great declaration of war against the American people, and it has destroyed this country for the last 20 years. And this is the time to avenge that, and only a revolution that overthrows this and exposes this and all of the actors, and I don't care if you have to dig Rumsfeld up by the grave and hang him, it needs to happen. Because this country will never be whole, never be respected, and will not live long so long as this great lie and deception remains buried like a stinking corpse underneath our living room floor. Jim?
Oh, indeed, Scott, you are on the money there.
Exactly right. George, yes.
Well, part of the things that sometimes people have lighthearted, non-sophisticated analysis of the Pentagon, and one that came out shortly thereafter was someone astutely pointing out that there's no damage to the lawn. So he did a comedy analysis on that, and he said that the military have something called the amazing pentagrass. A giant plane can crash, and not one blade of grass is disturbed or burned or damaged. in any way, shape, or form. And that's something to help the less sophisticated understand that they have been had. One image that I remember very much was a video image. And there's a hole in the building, there's a damaged office, there's a desk, and there's a book on top of some sort. I don't know if it was a phone book or a large book of some sort, but the little pages are blowing in the wind. And you're going like, what could possibly have gone through that hole to have explosion and fire and have these couple of few pages blowing in the wind undamaged? There's no way anything passed through that hole that could in any way, shape, or form be a large passenger aircraft. But for some strange reason, people are blind. They love being blind. They love being abused. And as you say, Scott, it is time, because we're involved in another war. This war hasn't stopped. It's just increased in magnitude exponentially, really. And we're coming to a point where the entire military of most of civilization is going to be injected with a bioweapon to most likely kill them or maim them so they can no longer function, that every representative of any type of civil government is also facing the same sword of Damocles to be destroyed, so that we have no functional government, we have no first responders, we have no doctors, no hospitals, or anything else. And that can only imply one thing, that we are at war, and this is the ultimate treachery, and that our domestic enemies are selling us down the river. This is a very complex topic, so I'm not getting into news, but a piece that hit me yesterday takes a lot to, you know, to shake me a little bit. But one of my researchers found me interviews from farmers in the West saying that they're being paid to destroy their crops. And it's a Faustian bargain, to be sure. They'll cut off your aid funding, all your grants, unless you take 1.5 times more than what your crops are worth to destroy them all. And if even then you refuse, we will spray your land with Agent Orange and destroy your crops and your land. And that really threw me over to say, how can you deny, even for a moment now, that we are not at war and that these people are agents of the enemy we are at war with? Because in any battle, scorched earth is always something that comes along to break up the food chain. And to take away the crops of Americans so that they don't have food to eat puts you on your knees begging for your next bit of food. It also puts you in a dangerous prepper situation that you better be prepared, because there won't be resupply, but even more so, that not only are our military first responders and essential services in a position where they could all be taken out of the picture, we may be put into a situation where we not only face hunger, but starvation. And that's what reward you reap for being silent and protecting the enemy. In a battle, in a war, many, many people have to run into shot and shell and take horrendous wounds and injuries to achieve an objective, to defend the homeland, to defend their colleagues, to defend their ship, their base, wherever they are. And many, many step up to the plate and willingly take those risks and absorb those injuries. And for that, we are all truly grateful and appreciative. But now we're at a war where we can lose the whole country, the whole nation, the whole military, our whole way of life, and all our very lives. And for fear of some sort of punishment, everyone seems to be afraid to take that stand like Scott did, to say, I'll do it. I'll throw myself on the information grenade and save my country, to save our values, to save what's important, so that we have another day, or hopefully a forever. And that's why we have to appreciate men like Scott, because there are very few and far between. But there may be people listening at this time that know many of these things. You must speak, or forever you may be silent, because the people that you cover for are actually killing you and your family right now if you've taken the bioweapon. What did you gain? And what do we offer? We offer a return to sanity and some sort of justice for all those who have fallen as victims or as soldiers in these struggles and in these battles since time immemorial. And that is what makes America. That is why Old Glory flies. That is why it is safe for you to walk down the street. That is why you have all your inalienable rights. Because people stood up to the plate and they did what they had to do. And now we have to collectively do these same things. And I'm interviewing a lot of doctors lately, and they have a different kind of uniform. And it seems surprising to me that I see people in white lab coats or the hospital blues standing up on the front lines to fight for freedom when many of the soldiers or police or people that work in the intelligence agencies are cowering in fear somewhere. And many of these people are quite senior, to say the least. Dr. Bregan's 85 years old, and he comes to the front lines to fight for our freedom. Think about that and get up and do it.
Well, you know, okay. You raised the question about the cutouts in the side of the building and the explosives. It appears, as far as I can discern, that that was all arranged by what was known as a gelatin group. There were hundreds of Israelis, I believe they were Mossad, in the U.S. on visas as art students, and they were given access to the Twin Towers. We have photographs of them there. They were doing performance art external to the Twin Towers. We have photographs of them with boxes of fuse holders that I believe were used to plant incendiaries to cut out the impression of the planes in each the North and the South Tower when no planes actually hit. You do a close-up inspection and you find there are no remnants of any plane in either of those holes because, of course, no plane actually hit, but in addition, it appears they position jet fuel and I suspect even napalm so that once we had the imaginary hit, it was set off to create this massive explosion. And behind the smoke and the flames, they were doing these cutouts of the sides of the building. But it's so complex. You see, it's a Hollywood-style special effect that's taking place here. And we find the government and Hollywood are in very tight alignment, especially since Barack Obama nullified the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, whereas Scott knows the Smith-Mundt Act precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States that were being used without. And just in time, by the Smith Modernization Act of 2012 to bring a Sandy Hook, followed by the Boston bombing, Orlando, Dallas, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas. Barack Obama made all that legal. It's just outrageous. But what we have on 9/11 was a very clear integration of Hollywood-style special effects with intelligence operatives, where 9/11 was brought to us by the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, the overwhelming majority of whom were, again, dual U.S.-Israeli citizens and the Mossad.
Indeed, indeed. That was one of my little footnotes was a blog I wrote called Preparing the World Trade Center for Destruction, and I have images of gelatin's work. They were actually in the Metro section of the New York Times, August 18th, 2001. They actually showed them doing their dirty work in the newspaper. They removed a window and put their trap contraption outside. And a former owner of the World Trade Center said, that just isn't done. These guys were non-professional people. And she said, anytime we had to do window work or remove a window or do anything outside, we had to close the street. We had to get the NYPD to seal off the block because if something falls from such a great height, the wind can pick it up. It can go very far. And it's all done by specialists in engineering, not a bunch of clowns who pretend to be artists. And that this could be so well photographed and documented in public places. What's even worse is their own drawings. They have paper drawings that they put together with phrases about what's going on that actually show the tower in its compression stage as it's going to come apart. How could anyone know that before it happened? I look at that evidence from gelatin as being good enough to get warrants to search, warrants to go over communications, to start building a case for arrests, because they had all this information. The other thing is they even drew pictures of the falling man, the classic photo from 9/11. In theirs, it's a teddy bear falling from this great height. But they even knew that that was going to happen. So this is, and some of the notes even talk about payment, that there's payment involved in this. This was treason at the highest levels of people working in any type of administration. And the malfeasance involved is just so diabolical. It is beyond belief that a people can participate in destroying and attacking their own people without the slightest bit of moral standing anywhere along, especially when you're put into a position where you're to protect them and not execute them and not take them to some sort of environment like this. Yes.
George, I wanted to add to what you're beginning to address and open up, and that is there are a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists who have been commenting and analyzing how, of course, the cognitive dissonance and the shutdown occurs and the mental crippling that this whole 9/11 event has done to people. This is all calculated in the PSYOP, the psychological preparation, the psychological warfare. This has been for a long time coming from the Project for a New American Century, the Jewish Zionist Feith and Pearl and Dov Zakheim, who was my boss, incidentally, at Booz Allen Hamilton and was the auditor who was part of the Rumsfeld $2.3 trillion. He then later became Booz Allen Hamilton's terrorist financing guy at U.S. Central Command. That was when I was tasked to go down and investigate him and investigate the terrorist financing. That's where I was also tracking Brad Birkenfeld. Ed Snowden was a colleague of mine. He was on that assignment when he was CIA. When they nabbed me, Snowden saw it, got out of the country. So there's a whole realm that people can read in that they'll never see that, incidentally, is what got General Flynn out of jail when I gave it to Sidney Powell and the judge. But we can get into that after the break.
Yes, we will, because we have to get into that, because our posse is duly deputized to find the...
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. torture us and bomb us, fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. But time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and freedomslips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life.
Hey,
antibiotics
break some kind of long, ain't it?
And harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal fluid...
All right, come on, guys. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance of
digestion. Suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour 877-817-9829 or your Living Streams Probiotics
today.
They're available
in the background in 3 different ways.
Living Streams Probiotics comes with a money back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams Probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams Probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.
There's only a few men that I really enjoy being militant.
I've been taking a curcumin for so many years. I'm up there in age, and I don't have any aches or pains. I haven't taken aspirin or anything of that nature for so many years. If I get a little nagging, that I feel maybe a headache coming on, I'll take about 5 or 6 curcumin. And it's gone. Pain is...
Professor James Fetzer, we have Scott Bennett. We have the ball, and we're running to the goal line, and we're going to slam it down on the other side and say touchdown because we have the facts and information that really matter. And one of the things that really matters, too, is Power Hour. And Power Hour is funded by Power Mall. Power Mall has the last day of Labor Day sales event. So if you make a purchase through this week, You get discounts 10% off when you spend $75 plus, 15% off when you spend $150 plus, 20% off when you spend $200 plus. Drop ship products excluded. You can shop through Sunday online by visiting www.thepowermall.com. No code necessary. Discount will apply at checkout. And you can listen to the show on their new number, 631-359-8232, 631-359-8232. And you can fight the war for liberation. I call it the war of the restoration, really, the war of the restoration of the republic, to put it back where it's supposed to be, the way it was always intended, that we're not going to knuckle down. We're not going to let all these various globalists, communists, whatever it is. Okay. That was cool.
That was coming from...
We're not going to let them...
That was coming from Fetzer's.
Okay. I guess... For the Trekkies, I guess that's like the instrument of obedience. They're blasting you from space, giving you some pain or something like that, just to say you're a heretic. But we already know that.
You're driving them crazy.
We merged to a different drummer. What's that?
You're driving them crazy.
Indeed, indeed. So it's good old fun. Anyway, Scott, you left off at a very crucial point that we should take up on and saddle the horse to that information.
Well, you know, I wanted to say one thing. That is the cognitive dissonance, and the psychological psychiatrists that have analyzed this have said something very, very simple, and it's important for people to understand. And that is, before 9/11 and up to 9/11 and after, people have been raised and saturated with the American exceptionalism, with
Scott, did we lose you? Scott, you're okay. Muted. I'm looking. Your mic is muted, Scott.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That was strange. Boy, they really don't want us talking. So all of the pageantry and the American exceptionalism causes people to have this prideful James Cagney sense of, you know, Yankee Doodle Dandy, and we are God's instrument on planet Earth. We are God's high priest. We're God's policeman. So, you know, we're the best. We're destined to rule. This is what happened after the fall of the Soviet Union after 1991 and George Bush Sr., and Ashton Carter and Dove Zakheim and the Project for a New American Century and the military-industrial complex now wanted full-spectrum dominance. And they used the patriotism of Americans against them. And it was like Americans had been falling asleep, you know, having a nap, and suddenly a bucket of scalding water was thrown upon them by Dick Cheney, by George Bush, by Condoleezza Rice, by... Zelikow, by Fife and Pearl and the Project for a New American Century, and by the military themselves. This bucket of scalding water was thrown upon them, and it was in the form of the 9/11 attacks, and that then was propagandized into driving them towards war, and there we've had that for 20 years. Now, people, when they discover that the 9/11 events are physically impossible and inconsistent with the laws of physics and science, and therefore absolutely false, they have this reaction of, oh my God, everything that I valued, everything I invested my love and my spiritual union with, it's almost a form of spiritual fornication and idolatry and idol worship, God says. But the spiritual fornication that people have committed with the idolatrous patriotism of America is exceptional and can do anything and anywhere and we're favored, that suddenly is exposed and vulnerable and shown as fraud and a lie and corrupt. And that's when people say, I don't want to listen. I don't want to see. I want to bury my head. I'm not going to abandon my spiritual fornication with the American empire and epistemology and exceptionalism. That's one class of people. The other class of people go, everything was a fraud and a lie. I'm divorcing myself from these notions, and I am going out into the wilderness to search for truth. I am not going to be part of, I'm not going to sell my soul, I'm not going to lobotomize myself for the convenience of social acceptance, for the convenience of a job or you know, being accepted. I'm not going to be controversial. I'm just going to be a little beta male and a sheep, and I'm going to enjoy my alcohol, my football games, my Xanax, my TV, and live in perpetual mind-numbing matrix bliss, and I don't want to have anything that disturbs it. Well, those people are worse than slaves. They're the walking dead, and they deserve to die, and they are dying from the COVID-19 shot that's coming upon them. That, incidentally, Philip Zelikow has now been appointed the commissioner head director to oversee that. The same guy, Zelikow, was put in charge of the 9/11 commission, which was totally fraudulent. And Zelikow is the expert in myth-making. So Zelikow perpetuated and cultivated this myth of 9/11 and airplanes and hijackers and all of the physical impossibilities of Building 7 and all the other things were neglected from the 9/11 commission. So Zelikow is a particular pinata that should be beaten and torn apart and burned after due process of law, of course. For his treason. But I just wanted to tap into all Americans go through this process of discovery. It's not fun. People have knots in their stomach. They have a very great emotional tearing apart. But it is essential to embrace that process, that pain, that turbulence, that metamorphosis, for God to lift you up to higher planes of human existence and higher pursuits. This life on this earth, in this planet, on this nation, is not our eternal destiny. We are spiritual beings passing through the physical plane, and we find ourselves now being confronted with some of the most demonic evil and wickedness that has accelerated since 2001. But we have to stand. And as the world crumbles and disintegrates around us like a sandcastle, that's when we find our true manhood, our true humanity. Are we made of truth? Do we love truth? Are we seeking truth? Are we smiling in the sky to the face of God saying, give me more? I am yours. I'm not this nation's. I'm not this world. I'm not this political party. Or are we selling our souls? Are we selling ourselves for the 30 pieces of silver? Are we taking the mark? Are we lobotomize ourselves for the convenience of the season of sin for a flashing moment in exchange for an eternity of damnation? And that applies to everybody who gets this COVID-19 vaccine, and Tenpenny has talked about it too. So this is a great metamorphosis, and I just wanted to say I went through the trauma of discovering 9/11, and it was very ugly for me to have to see all this and say it, but you know what? It makes you a better, stronger human being after you pass through that, after you clean your guts out of the lies. You suddenly have a sensitivity and an awareness and a boldness and an anointing from God like you never could have before. So I just wanted to address that. Go ahead, George.
Well, that's very, very true, and I've gone through many of those processes, too. I know a little bit about deprogramming people that are in cults. We're in a cult, the government cult, organizational cult, societal cults, all sorts of these things, where you bump into the walls and you realize there shouldn't be a wall here. Someone put a wall here, and I have to find a way through it, and metamorphosis through this wall to get to these truths. Marshall McLuhan said, man must, as a simple survival strategy, become aware of what is happening to him despite the attendant pain of such comprehension. It is essential. It is a rite of passage. It is a rite to heavenly things or even to manifest what we used to have before that is being taken away from us because we cannot let the liars win. And it's very easy now once you're reprogrammed, usually on your own or in a small group of people, to realize that everything they tell us is a lie from the get-go. So there's really nothing that can come out of the mouths of these people that even for a moment I will accept until I severely research it and dissect it and bounce it off other people and come to a conclusion about what the truth really is. But it's almost a given that a compulsive liar will keep on lying. That's never going to stop. And as that great old book
from the Russian defector said, new lies for old. So when you catch them in a lie, they always have a new lie and a better lie. See, this lie is better. It's the new improved lie to take you to the abyss faster and better. And it's just such a shame. So many people are going to suffer through this because people who have taken this jab, who get effects sooner than others for whatever reason, now they realize what's happened to them and how their bodies are forever changed, how they have debilitating injuries that they can never recover from, and that this is your, you know, you are a healthy, vibrant human soul. And now you're in terrible shape. And for people who are like superb athletes, to go from your 20s or 30s and now be the equivalent of your 70s or 80s for health, is you threw away 50 years plus of your life to trust these fools. And you can't go back. And we don't even know what next year is going to bring or the year after that. I personally feel, you know, we're going to see it start to come on really, really strong in the next year or two. And we may get to where Elon Musk said we have population collapse because we cannot conceive anymore. Male sperm is damaged. Women can't conceive anymore. They have miscarriages all the time. This is going to be a nightmare, an absolute nightmare. And it probably will come to the point where the people who have been abused by this system will take justice into their own hands. That might be a wild card they never expected, because if they're doomed to a life of misery or a short period of time to death, storming the Bastille will be a great relief to do before your time is done. And there'll be no power on earth, no logic, no reason. They inspired the mob, and the mob is loose. And when the mob realizes they've been cheated, they are still a mob. And they may seek revenge. And what happens to the people who brought this mob to being will be so atrocious, it probably won't be able to be spoken of.
I'd just like to underline what Scott said about Philip Zelikow. The original choice to head the 9/11 Commission was Henry Kissinger, but he would have had to reveal his financial entanglements and decline the honor when they turned to Zelikow. I was just dumbfounded to discover, as Scott has mentioned, that his background in the academy, where he was a professor, was in the creation and maintenance of public myths, M-Y-T-H-S. So Philip Zelikow is my candidate for having written the script for 9/11. And who better, therefore, to put in charge of the 9/11 Commission, where he completed a draft of the report a year before he shared it with any members of the staff. Let me say, if we liken 9/11, the official account, as a theory suspended in space, then it's connected by these linkages, little anchors that come down to the passengers, their phone calls, the crash sites, the destruction of the Twin Towers, the 19 Islamic terrorists. None of those linkages hold up. All of them are subject to destruction. In fact, demolition intellectually, whereas David Ray Griffin observes in his magisterial work, The 9/11 Commission Report, Omissions and Distortions, a half a dozen of the suicide terrorists turned up the following day and made contact with the British press, obviously not having died in the crashes they're alleged to have committed. The Department of Justice found a very convenient list of the 19 purported hijackers in the luggage of Mohammed Atta that was left behind in Boston when he allegedly, you know, aborted an aircraft. But the fact is, they know better. They know it's a fake list, but they'll never revive it. They'll never revise it. It appears that the government, once it commits the lie, is stuck with it and will never change.
Indeed. One of the things I came across in research for other shows a long time ago in 2008 is, were the 113 passengers from Flight 93 renditioned to Guyana on November 12, 2001? Because there was a CIA Janet flight, Flight N198PA, Phoenix Air, going there from Las Vegas, of all places. And my colleague Tim was very, very keen to pick on that, to say, well, no wonder. Think of all the identities that are in limbo from Jonestown that you could assign someone a new name, a new passport, and send them on their way, and no one would be the slightest bit aware.
They appear to have just made up these passenger lists. I mean, it's completely ridiculous. When you talk about Shanksville, it's fascinating. You go there, there's a hole about 10 by 15 or 20. There's no signs of any debris, no signs any aircraft had crashed there. In fact, two reporters first interviewed on the scene said the eerie aspect of the crash site was that there was no sign of any plane having crashed there. We're told you can't prove a negative, but you can prove the negative. There's no elephant in your living room. Guy going there and looking for signs of the presence of elephant, finding none, you're entitled to infer that's because there's no elephant there. You go into Shanksville and you look for signs of a plane crash, and finding none, you're entitled to infer that's because no plane crashed there. Interestingly, pilots for 9/11 Truth also tracked Flight 93 and discovered it was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois after it had officially crashed. And as I mentioned before, when I tracked down the FAA records for Flight 175, I discovered that the planes used for both of those flights, Flight 175 and Flight 93, were not formally deregistered or taken out of service until 28 September 2005, 4 years later. And we've also been able to establish, and this was a brilliant work of Gerard Holmgren, who was a new Australian blues musician, that the Bureau of Transportation Statistics, which keeps detailed data on every commercial flight from the time it's scheduled to depart to the time they close the gate to the time they pull away from the terminal to the time they have wheels up, wheels down, no data for either Flight 11 North Tower nor Flight 77, the Pentagon. Those planes were not even in the air on 9/11. It's stunning when you put together all the pieces.
Oh, indeed, indeed. Like my buddy in the Navy used to say, when you come up with complex issues like that, is that important? Yes, it is important. It's very important because it shows us clearly and wholly that we've been had. And why we keep going back to these mandarins of spin to do us some more is just beyond reproach, really. There's an old Irish saying, George Bush got it wrong. You know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And that's the whole factor there. They keep fooling you and fooling you and fooling you, and there's no one to blame but yourself because you're allowing them to do it. And by doing that, you give them power, and the more power they take, the more they abuse it, and the more they put you in your place, which is just a place I can't even begin to imagine what's on the horizon for that place. But we will see it. The Bible talks about there being two witnesses. Hopefully Scott and I can take turns and watch it to the end. So,
let me say this. There is a muscular growth spiritually, emotionally, intellectually. There's a transformation, a muscular strengthening and intensity that happens to you as you absorb the truth and purge yourself of the lies of 9/11 and other things. But 9/11 is a wonderful starting point of the yellow brick road. It is the wonderful foundation because it's 20 years ago. So even if you were born on 2001, you can still become educated if you're, you know, 20 years now, or I was in my 20s at the time. So 9/11 is a wonderful thing to dig into because there is a muscular transformation that people, again, need to embrace. You know, when you're lifting weights and working out, you have to embrace the pain afterwards, not get scared by it, not think it's abnormal. No, it's natural. You've been lifting weights. Your body's rebuilding. It's sore. It's good, right? No pain, no gain. Well, this is the same application in the intellectual absorption of truth and the processing and the purging of lies. It is painful, but it is strengthening. And it is building, and it emboldens you. And that, coupled with your observation of the weakness of others, the stupefaction of others, the cowardice of others, don't feel guilty about their weakness, their cowardice, their stupidity, their narcissism, their selfishness. Don't let them bring you down. Don't waste time or words on them. Don't feel sorry for them. Don't lower yourself, like you said before, to their mediocrity. Take pride in your growth, pride in the knowledge that God's anointed you to see this and to understand this. And yes, you can feel sorry that they haven't got this and hope and pray that they do, but we have to focus on our own self-growth because it makes us better leaders and speakers and confident for others who are searching.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Revolution Radio, every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinion.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar.
Seeing shards of metal coming past their window. The Pentagon has been evacuated. Emergency services personnel were rushing to reports of several people trapped in the building. Most of the building's 24,000 people are outside of the building or in the center courtyard as the emergency teams try to sort out what has happened here.
There has just been a huge explosion. We can see a billowing smoke rising. And I can't, I'll tell you that I can't see that second tower, but there was a cascade of sparks and fire, and now this, it looks almost like a mushroom cloud explosion, this huge billowing smoke in the second tower. This was the second of the two towers hit. And I cannot see behind that smoke, but just look at that. That is about as frightening a scene as you will ever see.
Just before 10 o'clock, parts of the building began peeling away. People started screaming. The police began yelling, run, run. And thousands of people started running away from the buildings as they were falling.
There, as you can see, perhaps the second tower, the front tower, the top portion of which is collapsing. Good Lord. There are no words.
Where I'm right now, there's a thick plume of smoke, and you can see crowds of people, including emergency service workers and police officers, running from the scene, screaming. And there's a school nearby where there were kids in the schoolyard. That has been emptied out, and they're running up the street now, too. The whole sort of the neighborhood, I'd say several blocks up, is covered by this almost powdery smoke. Little tiny pieces of building you can see just floating in the wind around it. It's almost as if like a huge cloud had kind of enveloped that part of lower Manhattan.
You saw people being wheeled on gurneys away from the site of the explosion. People were coming out with masks over their face, anything they could put over their face, because the air was still very thick with debris.
We have a report now that a large plane crashed this morning north of the Somerset County Airport, which is in western Pennsylvania, not too terribly far from Pittsburgh. We don't know if this is somehow connected to what has gone on in New York and Washington, but we do know that another plane has crashed, this one about 80 miles south of Pittsburgh, or at least to the southeast of Pittsburgh.
Everyone, I'm sure, on their mind is God rest the souls of those who've lost their lives this morning in New York, in Washington, near Pittsburgh, in Pennsylvania. It is just a story for which there are no words to describe.
Yes, indeed, there are no words to describe, not from mainstream media. There are words to describe here on Power Hour. We will get into the juicy details. When we heard some of the analysis already about the Pentagon, about Shanksville, and then we listened to what they told us on the news that fateful day, they lied. They just flat out lied to us and deceived us and led us down a trail that's an ambush, to walk into a police state with the Patriot Act, to walk into wars, to walk into the complete disruption, basically, of the planet Earth and the free movement of people on it. That is what that lie cost us. That's what that lie did. And we are here not to resurrect the lie. You will hear tomorrow, on September 11th, all these media organs repeating these lies over and over and over again. But you found freedom here. We exposed
those lies, and we'll continue to expose them some more, because that is our troth to our country, to our fellows, to God, that we will not stop. Any comments on what you heard or another aspect of 9/11 that you'd like to bring up?
Well, yeah. Sure. I mean, they had a clip there from Jamie McIntyre, who was CNN's best correspondent, that might have thought was confirming a plane had actually hit the Pentagon. But he said on the air, from his close-up inspection, there was no sign of any plane having crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. No large pieces of anything, no wings, no tail, just tiny pieces you could hold in your hand. And you know, he was later censured and forced to retract, and he did it in the following way. He said, only a fool would deny that a plane had hit the Pentagon, meaning he'd been a fool to think that his bosses had wanted him to report the truth. And later, I think, tired of carrying all this heavy water propaganda, he retired. He was their best correspondent, but he retired.
Indeed, indeed. Part of my early training was disaster planning, and one of the big disasters that we had in the Toronto area was a plane crash at the Toronto airport. And I can assure you that pieces are everywhere. Pieces of wreckage, pieces of people, they were spread over a very, very, very large area. Yes, some portion went into the ground. They found the pilot's body something like 16 feet underground. But, of course, the wings and the tail and all the assorted other things cannot follow that cone into the penetration of the earth. And it was just horrendous, the body parts all over the place, hanging in trees, you know, quite a distance from where this happened. And it took a long time to pick up these pieces and deal with this issue. And, you know, as soon as I saw the picture of Shanksville, just go, this is a complete and total sham. Even if it crashed into the sea or a large lake, there'd still be pieces floating on top that you could readily identify as either being people or parts from an aircraft. And unfortunately, for most people, their abilities to discern what they see with their own eyes is rather, rather poor, to say the least. And what they hear with their ears is even worse, because sometimes I don't think they hear anything at all, not even the wind blowing through empty space.
That is a description for the show today. Listeners can find links to two of my recent presentations on 9/11, where I go through all the evidence about all four of the purported crash sites in detail. There will be no doubt in your mind about what did or did not happen. Also, in detail, how the Twin Towers and the rest of the World Trade Center were destroyed. It will astonish and surprise you, but all of the evidence is there, including a study from the U.S. Geological Survey of dust samples from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan that revealed the presence of elements that would not have been there had this not been, brace yourself, a nuclear event, where a small nuke was placed in the sub-basement. Remember, the towers were designed as a tube within a tube. You had the inner tube with the 47 massive core columns, and then the outer tube, the 230 external steel support columns. The way they were destroyed was from the bottom up with the inner tube, and then what we witnessed from the outside was the outer tube being blown apart from the top down. But notice, there's no way, shape, or form in which that resembles a collapse. In a collapse, all the floors come down at the same time. They wind up leaving a pile of debris equal to about 12% of the height of the original. We had that with Building 7, which occurred at 5:20 in the afternoon, about 7 hours after the destruction of the North Tower. But with the Twin Towers, we had them blowing apart in every direction from the top down. Each floor is remaining awaiting its turn to be blown to kingdom come, in the memorable phrase of Morgan Reynolds. The buildings are being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust, which, by the way, is a signature of the use of nuclear devices. And when it's over, believe it or not, there was nothing there. Father Frank Morales from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, a first responder, on my radio shows twice explained how both of those buildings were destroyed to or even slightly below ground level. And you'll see in all the massive evidence I present there, how you can contrast building 7, 5.5 floors, 12% of a 47-story building, with building 1 where it had been basically nothing, although at 12% of 110, there should have been 13.5 floors of debris. It ain't there because it was converted into very fine dust. It's a fascinating story, George, and I just want everyone to know where they can get access to very thorough, detailed, documented. I present all the evidence about exactly what happened, how we know that none of the 4 9/11 aircraft actually crashed on 9/11, and how we know that the buildings did not collapse but were destroyed using very sophisticated technology that, needless to say, would not have been available to Islamic terrorists.
Jim, I mean, George, let me add one thing to this. It's very important for people to compartmentalize this entire attack into different episodes for your own mental absorption and processing of this stuff. So it's almost like getting a piece of paper and drawing a north, south, east, and west compass. The north are the Twin Towers. The east are Building 7. The south is the Pentagon. The west is Shanksville. So keep these episodes compartmentalized so that you can focus on every element, every testimony, every piece of evidence and analysis that pertains to that particular spot, event, target. And they are not polluted or cross, you know, influenced by the other episodes, which is what the counterintelligence operators try and do. They try and meddle and blur and throw a little leaven in here, and suddenly people are discombobulated. So focus on Building 7 and everything about Building 7, and you'll see 100% that it was fraudulent, false, it's impossible. The science, the architects, the engineers, everything in Building 7 proves that the government story is false and that it was a fraud, it was you know, a fake event. That is that's a very powerful piece to focus on, because we have so much video testimony and analysis on it. That foundation, add that next to the Twin Towers, as Jim is talking about. He's got great resources in a lot of this analysis. But then look at the Twin Towers and look at everything pertaining to that. The video, the architects and engineers and all of the different elements of it, the nuclear material, the dust, the explosions, the impossibility of the building falling at all, and how it evolved, the dustification, all of that. That's separate. Then you can look at the Pentagon with the same scrutiny. So these things add upon each other. They compound each other as individual components of an overall, tapestry, jigsaw puzzle. And only by compartmentalizing them do you develop really the absolute impregnable knowledge that you can then fit them together and say, oh, yeah, we see this. And then you add to it the other emotional testimony components, such as Wesley Clark standing up and saying, I was given a paper from a senior lieutenant colonel in the Pentagon saying, oh, sir, we're going to attack Iraq. And then a month later, he goes in and the guy says, oh, sir, it's much worse. We're going to take down seven countries in 5 years. We're going to attack Syria. We're going to attack Lebanon. We're going to attack Iran. We're going to attack Libya. We're going to attack Iraq. 7 countries in 5 years? That's a conspiracy. That's a political coup. That is a policy of endless war. That's a war crime. That's conspiracy to commit war crimes. And then you know, the more you add this, the more the snowball gets bigger and bigger, And the more impregnable you become to the lies and the deception operations. And let me end it by saying there's a lot of people that go to these conferences, the 9/11 conferences, that try and present. I saw one last night, this guy with long hair that looked like something out of the 70s in a musical way, kind of a freakish looking guy, goes up there with very good looking slides trying to make Shanksville look like it actually happened. Well, I say there's a lot of kooks, there's a lot of liars, and there's, you know, maybe some truthful people who go and present stuff, but don't let yourself be rabbit trailed down some of these, you know, alternative kind of explanations. Stick to the facts, and you don't have to know everything. There are dark, you know, missing patches, and that's okay. You don't have to know everything, but you do have to know the rudimentary basic principles and facts of the issues, such as the explosions in the buildings, such as the molten metal, such as the impossibility of Building 7 falling into its own footprint, such as the absence of plane parts, both at the World Trade Center and at the Pentagon. These compartmentalized areas of focus will give you that mental muscle and confidence to be able to look anyone in the eye, and if they argue with you, you defeat them, and if they're looking for truth, they will side with you. And that's what we're called to be, witnesses of truth. Speak the truth in love, but that also means you never back down, compromise, or retreat. You are standing upon the truth for others to see. You are John the Baptist in the wilderness crying out for people to hear and see and come to truth on 9/11 because it leads to the source of all truth. George?
Oh, indeed, indeed. One other bizarre thing I remember when we look at the explosion part, is there was a large piece of steel that flew right across into another skyscraper and punctured it like a spear. And that's just impossible unless it received some sort of force from whatever explosive force was in these buildings. And the firefighters reported explosions in the building. And their tapes were sealed up for, I believe, 5 years, that they were a state secret. And as soon as I heard that they have to make a secret of what the firefighters said about what they heard and saw in the building, you know, right away you're being had. There's an adage in American law called fruit of the poison tree. You don't have to prove all the fruit is poison on the tree. Just the one or two pieces you have is plenty good enough because it all came from the same tree. And if you're daring enough to tempt yourself with the other pieces of fruit, knowing that you've already consumed one or two, God have mercy on your soul.
George, you're making great points. Yes, yes, a massive steel assembly that weighed 300 tons was blown up at a 45-degree angle and 600 feet outward into the Winter Garden. One of my colleagues describes the Winter Garden, therefore, as a place where dews and nanothermite go to die, because you can't possibly explain it on the basis of either. To explode steel, for example, in an explosive needs to have a detonation velocity of 6,100 meters per second. To explode cement, a detonation velocity of 3,200 meters per second. Kerosene, which is the principal constituent of jet fuel, has a detonation velocity of only 1,600 meters per second. But get this, nanothermite has a detonation velocity of only 895 meters per second. The buildings cannot possibly have been blown apart by nanothermite. And let me add, Scott has mentioned architects and engineers several times. Well, I've had extensive dealings with them. We had a remarkable development this past week when Richard Gage, who had headed the organization from its inception, resigned. Now, some think that was bad, but I celebrated it as good. Architects and engineers have been a limited hangout, meaning they'll give part of the truth, but not all. They only focused on Building 7. Dan Rather had already pointed out Building 7 appeared to be a controlled demolition on the day of 9/11. In my opinion, architects and engineers didn't carry us anywhere forward. They've given us a false theory about how the Twin Towers were destroyed in order to cover up how it really was done. Since once you understand that it was a nuclear device, you realize the whole official story is complete and utter nonsense. Plus, get this. Architects and engineers have been very aggressive in defending the idea that a plane actually hit the Pentagon. Now, Thierry Meyssan, a French intellectual, immediately discerned that the absence of a Boeing, any debris from a 757 at the Pentagon, was extremely telling because, as our nation's military command and control center, if the Pentagon hit was fake, the entire 9/11 scenario was a fabrication and a fraud. He got it exactly right.
Indeed, indeed. Fabrication and fraud. And we're used to it for some strange reason. We let them kill our leaders in the street. We let presidential candidates who are going to resurrect the case and give us legitimate government be shot down like dogs. We blame patsies. We let all kinds of terror events that are all orchestrated take away our liberties, our freedoms, and put us in a virtual prison of sorts because we lack the courage and the confidence to say, you're lying to us again and again and again and again. And James Fetzer has made a determined contribution in many, many storms, the likes of which are beyond proportion for most people to understand, to bring these truths to you. And for that, we are eternally grateful, because that when you know them, it just seems obvious as soon as you start to see some of them unfold, like the Boston bombing and the car crash thing. It was just like almost slapstick comedy. And I remember getting a video from Europe that had to be smuggled out, an aerial view of the Virginia car crash. And there's nobody there. There's nobody in the street. There's just a band of people in the intersection, and there was a fire truck already around the corner waiting. And they're stage sets, all stage sets. And we fall for it again and again and again because we give the keys of power to this
media.
We have
to prepare for the next
horrible media.
That's what's coming.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because they did do great drills in New York City just recently to prepare for another, perhaps, attack. Maybe the flood derailed it when they had the storm Ida come ashore and wet everything out. Maybe that put it on hold or damaged their infrastructure so they can't pull it off. But I don't doubt for a minute that the evil ones were prepared to do it again, maybe as early as tomorrow, if they could get away with it. And anytime you hear or see a drill, take lots of pictures, make notes.
George, let me say one thing. I anticipate, and I hope it doesn't happen, but I have to put it out there to warn people, I anticipate them taking Biden out. My guess is they're going to assassinate him and then use that to blame unvaccinated Trump supporters to accelerate their domestic terrorism agenda to try and lock down America like Australia has been locked down. So there is a false flag coming. There is a coordinated multi-law enforcement intelligence agency operation against the domestic population of America. All of the military that have been woke that are coming back as homosexual lesbians that'll turn their gun on American citizens. I think that is part of it. So people need to, number one, be prepared so they're not shocked, and then be organized so that they can respond, not in a way that the deep state wants them to respond. We don't want to fall into the traps of being labeled domestic terrorists or anything like that, but we have to be prepared to counter their moves as they unravel them.
Indeed. That was one of the finest strategies sometimes is the old Western. You head them off at the pass, and that's why it's so important for observers all over the place. If you see something forming, report it, whether you report it to Power Hour, your local media. They were doing a terrorist attack in Toronto many, many years ago to get us into the war on terror, and I got a warning from one of my listeners. He saw them forming, And I went out late at night all camoed up and blacked out and kept an eye on them, and I saw them smuggling explosives into downtown Toronto with the military to put in a building that they probably would have blown up to blame on what we called the Toronto 18 terrorists, who were pretty much orchestrated and funded by our intelligence agency, CSIS, so that all the well-meaning liberals in the world would now be warmongers and want to join the coalition and get into the war. They used a derelict ship in the Toronto port, and I went there to observe it. I saw it. I followed the agents downtown, photographed some things, and blew their cover.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
We did not engage in conflict that was...